SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Churchill Downs, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebeck.com, an absolutely gorgeous series of mornings through the weekend and afternoons. Been absolutely just perfect here. Gonna, of course, get into the mode of hoping that it stays that way. Talk already about Friday and Saturday and weather watches, particularly for Friday. We'll worry about it 36 hours out. That's the proviso. So I'll make that statement going in. Happy to get to Derby week. So much has gone on since we left on noon at Friday. And the activity from Keeneland to Ocala to opening night here at Churchill. Big festive crowd on hand. Looks like a very serious horse that is going to jump into the three-year-old turf picture. Beckford for Brendan Walsh wins the opening night stake here, the William Walker. And heard a few people say they should wheel right back and run him in the American turf, the way he exploded. He only had to run for the quarter of a mile. Very impressive win. And a lot to touch on, of course, the works and the travel arrangements. It is Oaks Draw Day, not just Oaks, but the full Friday card by later this afternoon will be available. And this was a really good addition and a terrific new wrinkle to give everybody an extra 24 hours to work on the cards. As much as we focus on Oaks and on Derby, these are going to be two outstanding days of racing as always. And the fields for the other supporting stakes, they're coming together as well, keeping an eye on everything. And for those that that are not yet in that mode, Friday to go with the Oaks, the Ali Sheba, Always Dreaming, who came back and had a final work and looked that much better after his return to action at Gulfstream. Always Dreaming in a short field, probably in the Ali Sheba. Abel Tasman is going to be here for the La Troyenne. And then, again, just a handful that are going to line up in there. Then the fields, we'll see. Rushing Fall, she's going to headline the Edgewood on Friday. The Eight Bells, and a lot of the Eight Bells participation, the three-year-olds going short, they may change based on what's happening in the Oaks, and we'll talk about that in a second, because there's been a lot of volatility even in the last 2 hours, frankly, in the Oaks, as a few of the also eligible types are trying to figure out what they're going to do, and I'll explain that in a minute. And you've also got the Twin Spires Turf Sprint, and going to be hard not to root for Tim Gleishaw and his barn with Bushero as maybe a mood lifter for them, a couple of weeks removed from the sadness that went on at Keeneland and Bullard's Alley. On Saturday, for those who want to know what's going together with the Derby, you've got the Old Forester. It's going to take I don't know how many seasons to start calling it the Old Forester after calling it the Woodford Reserve for so long. But you've got a nice big field in there, including Beach Patrol. Beach Patrol coming back for another year. And you got horses like Channel Maker and Arklow. Of course, we talked to Brad Cox about the last couple of visits. Nice field for the Turf Classic, the Churchill Downs. Imperial Inn, who's rounding into form after that race at Tampa, and the Florida Cup, a lot of the usual suspects that are going to go short. The American Turf, the three-year-old River Boyne coming in, the Manna Distaff, the great grade one, where Finley's Lucky Charm will look to parlay that terrific effort in the Madison, and that's a terrific field as well. The Distaff Turf Mile, the launching spot for Tepin several years ago, and the Pat Day Mile, which continues to actually get better and better, if that was possible. But names keep surfacing and heading into there, including Restoring Hope, who Baffert is putting on the plane. And that gets us to the story from the morning, which is the Kentucky Oaks field and the 14 that'll make up the body of the race. And it looked for a while late yesterday and into the evening that Exuberance was not going to get in. And that possibility, they're not going to be able to get to Kentucky. Exuberance got in because of a couple of decisions, including Red Ruby not running and the very minor injury to Blamed and Feel Terrible for Joel Marr, and really both of the between Runaway Ghost and Blamed, the Sunland Park horses both having minor incidents enough to knock them out of Derby and Oaks. So that opened the door, it opened the door for Amy's Challenge, Mac Robertson, and we'll see. And Amy's Challenge is a very big decision, because if she goes in the Oaks, she adds even more speed to what is already a brisk Oaks pace, projection-wise. Exuberance then looked like she was getting in, but then no sooner had that word come earlier in the day that Ian Kruljack found that he couldn't put her on the plane that is bringing the West Coast horses, Boldoro and Instilled Regard and Baffert and his troops. But in the last couple of hours, it's come to light that a Thursday flight, and I'm going to guess that Kruljack did this with FedEx, and Exuberance could get here for Thursday. So now she looks to run, and some excitement and then disappointment for now for Ron Paolucci, who wants to get Heaven Has My Nikki in. Calvin Burrell would ride her. So waiting for Amy's Challenge and a decision from Mac Robertson, and virtually all of the horses that were being considered for Oaks, even up till right now, would go in either the Eight Bells and the other option. And in fact, Paolucci suggested that Heaven Has My Nikki might even go in the Edgewood. He's projecting that maybe Rushing Fall scares away a number of fillies out of the three-year-old turf standard. So, because Rushing Fall herself had been kind of in and then out and then back in. So, we'll keep an eye on this, and by 11:15, 11:20, we'll know exactly where this all shook out and what your field of 14 is going to look like. The other horse that is kind of waiting for some news and decisions, Kelly's Humor and Brad Cox. And Cox's trio every morning has come out, and of course he's in great shape with Monomoy Girl and Sassy Sienna. Third horse, Kelly's Humor, outside looking in right now, she would go in the Eight Bells if she can't go in the Oaks. So there you go, up to speed on what has been the most noteworthy and newsy field of the morning. Going back to the weekend, let's start on Friday. And Keeneland wrapping up, of course, the Bewitch. And it was a good, it's funny, it's not Mother's Day weekend, that's still ahead, but it was a good weekend for moms. There was Moms on Strike winning the Bewitch and upsetting Daddy's Little Darling. That came on Friday as Keeneland's season came to a close. Been a good season for them. Been a tremendous season for Adam Bachisa, who just keeps winning and winning any kind of race. And really, he is burst on the scene. Joe Sharp and Moms on Strike. And she continues to mature and continues to win, and very nice. And I remember when she was being offered out for sale, and Sharp has really crafted a nice career for Moms on Strike. And I talk about Mother's Day because Mrs. Weber's Let It Ride Mom wins the Whimsical at Woodbines. I got a kick out of the moms stepping forward. Yeah, Let It Ride Mom wins the Grade 3 and upset Moonlit Promise, actually, in there. Patrick Husbands, Mark Cassie, Let It Ride Mom. The rest of Friday was focused on OBS, and Gary Young is going to join us in about 25 minutes, give or take, a little bit after the bottom of the hour. Gary wrapping up actually Thursday at the sale, and then he bid on a few by phone on Friday. OBS finishing very strong, and there was, after all the speculation, there was $1 million seller, but it didn't matter because there were so many other good six-figure sellers over the course of the 4 days that the numbers ended up just outstanding. 707 go through the ring, and $69 million, $69,429,000, and an increase of 14% on the gross. The average was up, and you just had all kinds of positives. You had a record median as well, up 16%, and the buyback, very modest, 18%, and they'll keep those open, as was mentioned by Jessica Martini the other day. So a very strong sale, and we'll go through some of the details with Gary. The million-dollar seller, $1.1 million to Steve Young, Gary's brother, and that was the Randy Bradshaw consigned Medaglia d'Oro Philly, and it was a very good sale for MDO, and this was one of the one of the ones that certainly had plenty of expectation. And in fact, it was Joe Neville's, I think, on Monday when we were getting ready. Monday or Tuesday, we were getting ready for the sale, and this is the sibling of Stormello, and out of Will She Wed. So he had speculated that this could have been one of the big ones, and indeed, the sale topper, $1.1 million. And I didn't, you know what I did not notice was whether, there it is, $300,000 last year at Keeneland, September, Randy Bradshaw developed, and a pretty nice, that's an $800,000 turnaround. So plenty of notes to fill out and discuss with Gary, and a couple of there were some fascinating successful stallions out of this sale that kind of caught my eye. And when it comes to the under the radar types, take a look at It's My Lucky Day, who had a very strong sell through 8x8, every offering, there were some outs here and there, but everything that went through the ring sold. Arch had a very nice sale with 3 2-year-olds that fetched $400,000 or more. That I noticed that. Some of the other names that everybody was expecting, Cairo Prince, of course, no surprise there. But there were some, I thought, some of the under the radar first crop types that. And not just first crop types, but there were some interesting successes, and we'll be anxious to see what Gary thinks and what he noticed. We already had told you about, he's had enough shaking it up. It looked like he sold well, and of course Kentheros, who we already had featured for Hill and Dale, and looking forward this week to get a chance to talk to John Secura, with the presence, of course, of the Curlin 3-year-olds in Derby, but Kantheros, who is obviously going to be a force, and having been relocated to Kentucky, Kitten's Joy too, actually, not also for Hill and Dale, with a few that sold well. I'll give you one that might not have been noticed right away. Drill had some nice I'm thinking along the lines of what it costs to, you know, to go to the drills of the world, and he's had enough and shaken it up, those kinds of, you know, those kinds of fledgling stallions, and then, you know, getting multiples of that stud fee. There's quite a few. I just kind of thumbed through the results by stallion and just kept noting them. Super 99. That looked like he had a few. Street Boss. That Noble Mission that, of course, has had plenty of written about him. And two of Shug's, the Phipps stallions. Data Link has been throwing runners. But Point of Entry had a nice sale, and so did Orb. And Orb's still kind of waiting for that, you know, for that spur, that spurs to the hindquarter horse that can propel him. But very good OBS, and Gary will give you some thoughts. Looking forward, and the next stop, of course, right after Preakness, Timonium, and the Mid-Atlantic 2-year-old sale, Phasic Tipton. Gets us through Friday and then gets into Saturday. And, of course, Saturday and Sunday, works-wise, some quiet mornings. And there's no way to dress up the weekend here in terms of what we were seeing. And in some ways, as quiet yesterday, certainly, with only Hofberg working, and then just a couple of gallopers, because you had so many of the workers from Friday that then were either walking, you know, the way Pletcher handles his four. They came back to the track this morning. But as quiet a Saturday and Sunday before Derby, Oaks, that I can recall. Certainly on Saturday, we'll talk about the Good Magic drill, that, you know, Good Magic continues to just train along and look good. And Hofberg yesterday, the two of them, not just because they were, certainly Hofberg yesterday because he was the only worker. It's tough not to have the work of the day when you're the only horse that worked. But no, he looked very good. And one of the horses, we'll look forward to talking to Johnny in a little bit, one of those horses that, you know, is being asked to do a lot. The Justify, Magnum Moon, Hofberg category that is being force-fed a tall task. But Hofberg looked very good. And then on the other side, of course, of the country, Justify and Instilled Regard and Bolt Doro. And I'll ask Gary this. This will come up. Do with Mike Welch too. You do wonder a little bit. I was thinking about this early this morning. The lack of big buzz around here, kind of in anticipation of the horses that are yet to arrive, and specifically Mendelssohn and Justify. I mean, they are, and then Bolt Doro. The fact that those three, you know, that we're waiting on them. Mendelssohn will not be seen. He'll get here, but he will be in quarantine and will not be seen on track till Thursday. So they'll just be Thursday and Friday leg stretchings and familiarization for Aidan O'Brien's brother of Beholder and Into Mischief. And he seems to be the horse that people are most eager to talk about and speculate upon, even more than Justify, because Justify, given Baffert and what we've already seen, it's Mendelssohn who's the giant question mark that makes for speculation. But Justify and Bolt Doro and as had Gray wandering in. There we go. And on the notes team. Let's pause here quick, and we'll come right back. Lots to do. We're into Derby week at Churchill Downs. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
My baby, don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh, yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my baby. Too little baby, my baby.
We're back at the races.
My baby, I know she love me, my
little Walter baby. With us, and Travis Stone is as well, and happy to get Travis while we got an opportunity. Maybe later in the week when we get Nick Tamaro here, we'll do as we have several years, a little round table, get a little Jonathan Kinchin in there, and nothing's better than a bunch of people ganging up on Jonathan. That's the best.
Yeah, that really makes Derby Week what Derby Week is.
What we look forward to. Travis, I just was leaving the first, you know, the opening salvo here from Monday, officially Derby Week, and I couldn't help but note that it was as quiet a Saturday, Sunday before Derby Oaks mm-hmm. that I've ever remembered. And yeah, the obvious answer is that you've got the first two choices, and then maybe the third or fourth choice in Bolt Oro, and obviously Justify and Mendelsohn. Three of the top four choices, let's say, or five choices, that aren't here. Yeah. And as a result, I get the sense that you know, that'll put the spurs to it, but we're not going to see Mendelsohn until Thursday. What's your feel here days in?
I went to the backside this morning, participated in their workout show, and I mean, there's definitely a buzz. It is Derby Week. There's a lot of people back there, but you're right. I mean, this thing is going to ramp up real fast. when Justify Bolt, Doro, and Mendelsohn get here. And unfortunately, like you said, Mendelsohn's going to be in quarantine for 48 hours, which means he's not going to come to the track until right on top of the race. So those that like to get an assessment of those shippers into the Churchill Downs for the Derby, they're going to have to overcome that a little bit. And, you know, everybody's been talking about how good Magic has looked, and rightfully so. And he might have some chestnut envy when Justify arrives, because Justify, a much more imposing large horse with a similarly bright chestnut colt. Once they roll off that plane, I think things are going to start to heat up.
We're watching, obviously, everything that goes on, and your tendency, on site anyway, is to focus on the horses that you're seeing every day, and so that kind of whittles it way into your mind. Mm-hmm. And so particularly with horses like Hofburg and My Boy Jack in particular, because they're both horses that kind of arrived here with I'm not going to label anybody the wise guy horse. That's an annoying thing, and I think everybody has a different definition of what a wise guy horse is supposed to be. But they both have a look of horses that will be running on, and depending on the pace, I've heard you say in recent days that you expect, despite a lack of front running speed, that you think there's enough pressure among, you know, up close types, Vanguard types, Durkin Vanguard,
firing line.
That would actually be a fun name for a horse, Durkin's Vanguard. That you think the pace will get to a point where those horses are going to get a chance. Are they going to get a chance to win, or are they going to just get a chance to hit the board?
I think most likely it's those deep closers are board hitters this year. Because when you look at the pace, you've got Promises Fulfilled, who I think has one mission, and that's to go right to the front. And then you have horses like Flame Away, Noble Indy, Justify, Bolt Doro, a long list of what I would label, you know, pace presser types, who are probably looking to make their move from the 5/8 pole to the top of the stretch, somewhere in that range. And that really depends on when they all make the move, because there's a chance that if they all try and make a move earlier, maybe Justify makes his bid for the lead with 3.5 furlongs to go, and that forces everybody else to make their moves, and all of a sudden there's a pretty wide open gap for closers to fill in, because they're all going to make their move too early, and they're not going to be able to stick around with a horse like Justify. So I think that's probably one of the variables in there. But to be honest with you, I also wouldn't be surprised if Promises Fulfilled rather rolls by the 2.5 furlong pole and a length and a half lead, because nobody respected him and they thought he was going to back up anyway. And he turns for home in front. Now, do I think he finishes it and goes right to the wire as a wire-to-wire threat in the Derby? I think that's extremely unlikely. But in that scenario, the horses right behind him, the Justifies of the world, the Noble Indias of the world, are going to be able to sort of sit a right pocket trip, inherit the lead. And that'll make it very tough for the closers, because if that happens, it's probably not going to be that fast. But, of course, everything can change. Like, what does Paco Lopez do on Frenzy Fire? He leads a speed jockey, so does he gun it out of the gate and gas up the pace a little bit? You know, we'll see. But Promises Fulfilled, he's got a lot of speed. He's got a lot of talent. We'll see how far he can go. He did go two turns at Gulfstream. That's a lot different, though, at Gulfstream than it is at Louisville in the Kentucky Derby.
You know, this is for you an important exercise. It isn't just a question of handicapping. I mean, you're a very big player and a serious player, but you also want to know how this is happening as you plan out your call and what you expect. And of course, we won't know until tomorrow after the draw exactly where they're going to line up. Explain your process from this point, and then how the draw then will affect the way you structure mentally, and even maybe in terms of drawing out a perspective, past the wire the first time.
Sure. I mean, like you said, the post position is going to play a big role in that. So, if Justified, knock on wood, were to draw like the one, things change in a hurry, right? Or if Promises Fulfilled draws the 20, not only does he have to work harder to make the lead, he's going to have to go faster early, and that's going to really gas up the pace. So I, as you know, as you just said, I do like to handicap the races. I don't bet the Derby. I wish I could. I choose not to bet the races that I call. But I treat it as if I am, and I really try and understand these horses from top to bottom, and where they might shake out pace-wise, and some of the jockey tendencies. What do I expect them to do? And I will literally have a what I would call a map of what the pace looks like when they hit the wire the first time round. And then the goal from there is, as a race call, you want to pick up on the moves. And so I'm starting to think about, all right, when Justify makes his move, where is he going to be? When's it going to happen? And what can I say about it? When Lone Sailor starts to, you know, muster up a rally, what is something I can say? And when can I expect to see him making that move? And it goes the other way, too. It's, you know, what if Flame Away is 15th early, a horse that usually is near the front? Maybe call attention to the fact that, you know, here's a pace horse that's way off it. Really just try and learn these horses from inside out. And so hopefully when the time comes, I have the right thing to say and can react the right way.
Well, how much analysis previous Derby calls, how many times have you listened to them and then watched them even and practiced even, you know, even what you might have done differently? How much critique has gone on? And this is what, Derby number
four?
Four, I was going to say.
I do a lot of self-critique. I've watched my past Derbies many times. I watched them about three or four times just the other day, and wrote down a bunch of notes. And I'm going to give you this is inside baseball, but I used the phrase early going twice last year in the first half mile, and I wrote in my notes for this year, early going is banned.
There will be no early going.
Yeah, and so now I'm going to say it because I'm talking about it so much. But you know, just little things like that that I, you know, another thing I want to work on this year is the inflection of my voice at times. A couple of times last year and the year before that, I inflected upward. I want to go downward in more of a dramatic way at the right moment. You know, just these little things, seeds I'm trying to plant into my brain and hope that they grow a little bit and take a place in by post time on Saturday. So yeah, I mean, I am always reviewing and thinking about what to do. I mapped out a roadmap of how I want to call the race, set the stage in the first furlong, do the rundown from the eighth pole to the back stretch, get through the entire field. And then I think a big part, as we were just talking about, I think a big part of this year's Derby is that back stretch, five furlongs to four furlongs moment where when do these pace pressers and these, you know, sort of forward-type horses make their move? Because I think it's all going to start to happen with about four and a half or five furlongs to go, and I just want to be ready for that.
In addition to being ready for Derby and the challenge that it presents, the Oaks is going to be a 14-horse field. And let me, in fact, while we have a second, the latest and breaking news, as it were, Amy's Challenge will enter the eight bells. So one layer of additional speed that had been speculated upon is not involved. And officially, definitively, from Ian Kruljack, by tweet to me, or by text to me, just in the last 5 minutes, they are not coming. She's staying home, is the quote from Ian Kruljack. So both Amy's Challenge and Exuberance not going to enter, which means Heaven Has My Nikki with Calvin Burrell is entered, as is Kelly's Humor. I'm in conversation with Brad Cox as we speak, and I think now he only wanted to enter Kelly's Humor if she was going to be in the body of the race. Did not want to enter, be the number 15, and be forced to run from the 14, even if there had been a scratch. So now that he knows that she can enter, she most likely will enter. So the question to you, 14 horse Oaksfield, how much time do you spend looking at the Oaks? That's a full group.
I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I spend as much time as I do the Derby. It's definitely a race you look at quite a bit. I don't spend my Oaks time until usually Wednesday, a good 2 days worth of work when I'm done with all the Derby work. Although this year's Derby is so in-depth, it's taken me a little bit longer than I thought. You know, when I hear that Heaven Has My Nikki's going to be ridden by Calvin Burrell, that makes that job easier. Just look to the rail. And that, you know, that really is a two-horse race this year. We'll see Monomoy Girl and Midnight Basu. But there are a couple of sleepers in there. And as a race caller, you cannot ignore the fact that almost anything can happen in a horse race. And you just have to be ready for almost anything because, you know, inevitably, Mind That Bird's going to win, Lemons Forever when, you know, at a big price. Those things happen, especially with lightly raced three-year-old fillies who are developing and with their forms a little bit more erratic than some of the colts.
you mentioned two horses, Lemons Forever and Mind That Bird, that both came from well back. And, of course, interestingly, both on very wet tracks.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is it? And how often are you going, and I think I've asked you this before, but how often are you going front to back to, and at what juncture are you looking for horses that are on the move so that you can, even if you don't mention it immediately, that you're aware of the horse on the move? And I mean, in some cases, this can be, this can be a horse. My boy Jack, you know that maybe he's easy because you know Kent is, depending on where they draw, is going to have him probably 19th or 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of those that you can look for. But, you know, there's also horses that are going to be mired 14th, 15th, 16th. That are going to be a little bit more difficult, where they're idling and waiting for that opening.
So I spend a lot of time analyzing the pace of the race, and we talked about the flow and the shape, but I also look at the raw fractions of these races, and I have in my notes for the Derby this year, if you see a half mile time in 44, you better look at the closers.
Right.
If you see a half mile time in 48, they're going to really have to run, and so I won't go back quite as far on the far turn. And yeah, like you said, so those horses that could get mired near the back, it really depends on that pace and just a visual assessment of how well they're traveling. I remember Frosted, when he made his move on the far turn, he went by several horses in the blink of an eye, and I picked up on that move, but then I gave up on everybody else because nobody else looked like they were even going to make much of an impact, and he was the only one sort of going against the grain of the race flow of that race. So really, it comes down to just a lot of intuition and eyeball test of what you see developing as the race unfolds. We'll know when they hit the back stretch and how fast Promises Fulfilled is going, what we can expect if, the horse that's in 20th has a chance to win the race or not. I think the secondary level to that is how well Justify is traveling. And if he's traveling well, they're going to have to run him down as well. So it's, 20 horses, so much going on. You just got to think about it all and hope that you deliver the right lines.
The line in terms of the splits, and I wrote this in the Express Bet Derby wagering guide, if it's under 110, if it's between 110 and 111 and over 111 for three quarters, that is how you approach this race from a handicapping standpoint and from a pace decision standpoint, and who you want to elevate based on your price value equation.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's 110 or less, if you look at the group and you think, well, they could go 109 and 1 and 109 and 2, well, then you're looking for horses from the back of the pack. You're
mm-hmm.
you're going to get the off the pace runners impacting all the way through to the win end. If it's between 110 and 111, the optimal scenario, 110 and 2, 110 and 3, then virtually whoever's best, whichever horse from every point on the mm-hmm. compass is best, will have their shot and handicap accordingly. 111 and above, invariably the three of the four horses at the eighth pole are going to be in the superfecta.
Yeah.
And that is a tried and true formula for looking at this race year after year after year.
It's interesting. So you do the three-quarter time. I do the half-mile time because when they go by the eighth pole the first time is when I go through the field. It's what I call the rundown. So this horse is first, this horse is second, this horse is third. And when you finish that rundown, they are past the 6-furlong pole, and so I get the half-mile time. So I use the same sort of mentality, which is, 44, 45, look to the back half. In the high 45s, 46s, even 47s, they can come from anywhere, right? And then all 20 are alive at that point. And then, the slower you get, the less likely the closers are. So, yeah, it's the same sort of thing that I'm doing, that you're doing when handicapping, is trying to assess, at what point does a deep closer become a relevant player. But inevitably, there's always someone that's going to outrun that pace scenario. There's always a pace presser that sticks around for a piece, or there's always a closer that sneaks in. It's got to be ready for him.
In addition, and I was leading to it when I brought up Friday, and I'm curious because these are two very long days.
Mm-hmm.
And you get through Friday. Right now we're looking potentially at a wet scenario, maybe. It looks like there's going to be some weather come through between Thursday and Saturday. But that in and of itself, what, a 12-race card on Friday? That's a tiring day. That's a typical Saturday, and you still have to save yourself for another 13 races on Saturday.
Yeah, it's an intense week, and you know I could sit here and complain about it, but you don't complain about it when you get to work at the Kentucky Derby. It's I do my best to. I'll even take a little ZQL to make sure I get a good night's sleep on Friday night. You know, even though it's a long day. It is Derby Day, and there's good racing from top to bottom, and you just roll right through. And the other thing is, it's with the they space out the races quite a bit over the weekend, so
true.
There's a good chunk of time, and I have a couch in the booth that I'll sit down and veg out on, and you know, even 20 minutes of downtime can help you soldier on. But I don't like to say soldier on because it is Derby Day, and there's no place I'd rather be.
Speaking of which, and this is I didn't ask you if it was okay to ask this. You did not go to New York this winter,
mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if your career ambitions and designs have changed at all.
That's a fair question. I'll tell you, I really got tired of the moving. I mean, I love New York. I love everybody at NYRA. It's a great group of people. As you know, I'm a Knicks fan, and so I'd like to go to the Knicks games. I had a great time in the winter. But last year when I got back and I made the move again, I was like, man, that was – I'm just like sort of tired of packing up the suitcase and lugging boxes down to FedEx to ship them back and forth. And I said, you're just – next fall you'll be ready to go back. But then we got through Saratoga, and I got back to Churchill for that September meet, and I was like – I'm not feeling it. And so, I mean, I called about five or six close, dear friends. Nick was one of them. And I just said, I need some advice. Just help me work through this. Help me talk about it. And I finally made the decision, called Dave O'Rourke at NYRA. And I said, Dave, I said, this has nothing to do with anything at NYRA. I can't come back this winter. I said, I don't want to do the move again. And Dave was super understanding. And, I felt like I made the right call when Tom Durkin sent me a text a day later, and he says, Travis, you made the right decision. He goes, I did that for a while, and he goes, it wears on you and it burns you out. And so have my career ambitions changed? My goal my entire life has always been to call big races, and I'm going to do that a little bit this weekend. And down the road, if other opportunities pop up, I don't know, we'll see. Things change all the time, but I am very content here. This is a great place to work. And you can say what you want about Churchill. They have treated me more than fairly. As you know, you get to know these people here working here Derby Week. It's a great group of guys and women that work here, and I'm very proud to be a part of it, and it'll be really hard someday to give up calling the Kentucky Derby.
Well, you certainly have made an immediate stamp on it and pulled in the fun videos of you in the booth, and I get a kick out of it knowing that Nick is standing right there behind you as well. And we'll do a handicapping, as always, the handicapping roundtable, and if you're free when Jonathan and Nick are through, we'll get your views of things officially. In the meantime, it's always a pleasure, and it's been just a delight to know you and watch you, just to continue to advance and mature and age. I won't say fine wine, because around here it's like a cask of bourbon. So
there you go.
Right.
I appreciate that. Very nice of you to say, and I'm going to send it back to you and say, racing appreciates what you do too.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Travis Stone, everybody, you follow Travis as Travis Stone on Twitter, and you'll be listening to him as we get into racing. Starts back tomorrow. We got Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thurby and Oaks Day, and
it all happens Thurby. Fast.
So right, we get to Monday, and it's just like a house of fire. Travis Stone, everybody.
Thanks, Steve.
Tremendous. We'll take a break right here. Gary Young, and Gary Young is wearing a jacket and tie. That alone, I could do a special show just on the fact that Gary Young is dressed up. Back after this with Gary Young. We'll get his take on OBS, get some sale feedback, and then dive into what we saw Saturday, Sunday, and this morning. And as I said, a little bit on the quiet side. And, of course, Gary's got the benefit of having watched Justify and Bolt Doro all, not just winter, but all last year as two-year-olds, instilled regard as well. And he certainly has watched their works on video. You can utilize XBTV and at KentuckyDerby.com. They've got the grid of all the works. Stay with us. Gary Young joins us next. Johnny D to follow as well. Monday, it's Derby week. Stoking up the engine and getting ready to really pull this train out of the station. Oakstraw at 11:06 is when it'll start. They'll do half the field and then take a break and come back. So we'll listen in. I almost did it from the room up there, but we'll save that for tomorrow for Derby Draw Day. Back after this with Gary.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.